Well, love it or hate it, work is one of those things in life that most of us have to do. But not all jobs are created equal when it comes to work satisfaction, pay, and career prospects. In a rapidly changing economy, sometimes we need a little help figuring out which ones are on the way up and which jobs are spiraling downward.
With that in mind, the website CareerCast.com is out with their 2015 Best and Worst Jobs Report. Contains some good news for those of you who know your way around a math problem. Bad news if journalism and broadcasting are more your thing.
Joining us now with a look at the best and worst jobs for 2015. Is Tony Lee, a publisher of CareerCast.com. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what makes a good job good and a bad job not so great.
Sure. Well, we look at a wide range of criteria. Some of the obvious things, like, you know, what are you earning today versus what your earning potential is in the future? You know, what's the employment and unemployment rate now versus job growth projections, you know, moving forward? And then we look at things that are, you know, a little more micro, I guess you could say, things like the level of stress in the job. You know, are you in the public eye? Do you have constant deadlines? Are you being asked to do more with less? Are there actual physical demands of the job? And at the worst possible stage, is your life in danger in that job or the lives of others that you work with? So there's a wide range of criteria that we look at.
And before we dig into some of the particular jobs, Tony, I imagine there are people who hate the best jobs and people who love the worst jobs on the list. What kind of feedback do you get from people who see these lists and say, hey, no, that doesn't match my experience?
Yeah, I mean, we hear from people every year who say, you know, I can't believe you've rated my job as one of the worst. I love my job. You know, lumberjacks, firefighters, people who get into the job because of the adrenaline and the things that they do, they don't care that it's, you know, possible you're going to get hurt or your pay's not very good. And the same on the flip side. You know, there are people in some of our best jobs who say, you know, well, I got a terrible boss, so my job's not so good. There's always particular issues with any job. What we do is try and come up with criteria that allows folks to look and say, yeah, this is generally some of the reasons why this job is great and the reasons why this job wouldn't be so great.
Well, we're going to zero in on the top of the list. The number one job is actuary, and this is part of a group of jobs that seem to have quite a bit to do with math. Let's look at the top. What makes actuary and some of those other top jobs good?
Well, in terms of any job that's related to a STEM career, so science, technology, engineering, math, you probably all heard this, you know, for a couple of years now. If you've got those skills, then there are opportunities for you in the job market for a long time. And the reason is there's just shortages. There aren't enough people who have those skills who are applying them in these types of careers. So whether it's an actuary, which is someone who, you know, figures out, you know, the life expectancy of things, they work for insurance companies, they work for construction companies, lots of different types of companies. There's a large number of folks who are hitting their retirement age and not enough new folks coming into the field from below. So what that does is it pushes up salaries, it creates a better working environment because companies will try and make the job easier to attract people, and it just makes it for an overall higher-rated job.
So if somebody wanted to tap into these potential jobs, obviously math skills would be at the top of their list. Is that enough, though? What else do they need to make sure they're getting the better jobs in these higher-ranking categories?
Well, you know, many of these jobs do require an advanced degree, you know, at least a college degree in the field. So you can't just say, you know, hey, I'm a janitor. I think I want to be an actuary tomorrow. You know, there is some education that's required. But once you have skills, you know, where we get a lot of very positive feedback is from teachers, you know, middle school, high school teachers who are saying, you know, my students may be good at puzzle solving, may be good at equations, but don't really know how to apply this in a career. This is great information because we can talk practically about here are jobs that you might be a good fit at. You know, when you take these things that you like and that you're good at and then start thinking about jobs for them, here you go. Here's a list of long-term careers that could be very profitable for you.
As you said, actuaries is number one. Can you first of all remind us what exactly an actuary is, and then tell us what other STEM jobs are in that top 10?
Yeah, it's so funny because every time we talk about the actuary job, the first thing people ask is, so what's an actuary? What is it? What does an actuary do? Yeah, so actuaries are typically people who will work with statistics to figure out the life expectancy of people, of bridges, of buildings, you know, lots of different things like that. There's a very large society of actuaries that have, you know, tens of thousands of members, so it's a fairly populated career but you have to be very good at numbers.
And some of the other ones in the top 10 of these math ones before we set the numbers aside for a minute.
Sure. Mathematician, statistician, data scientist, which is a new one this year. That's up at the top. And then we have some others that are more kind of, you know, math, but healthcare related. Audiologist is second. Biomedical engineer is fifth. And then your typical dental hygienist actually makes the top 10 list as well.
So looking a little beyond the top 10, but still toward the top of the list, if science, tech, engineering, math, they just aren't your thing, what are some other good options for people?
Yeah, so if there are jobs that don't require an advanced degree that where you're still in healthcare, like medical records technician, physical therapist, there are other jobs where you can do very well. I mean, the jobs that show up, you know, surprisingly high on the list without a college degree would be hairstylist, fitness instructor, jeweler. You know, so there are some jobs that rate well in terms of good opportunity, very low stress, yet you don't have to have an advanced degree.
Well, let's go to the other end of the list now. The worst jobs, and one at the bottom, and this has been there before, I think, newspaper reporter. Why is this consistently low and now the worst this year?
Yeah, so it has fallen to the bottom for a number of reasons. You know, it's one of the very few jobs where there's actually negative hiring growth anticipated for the next 8 years, meaning there are going to be fewer people in this job every year over the next 8 years. At the same time, the salary is expected to fall. But at the same, you know, concurrently, you're required to do much more in the job. So before, a newspaper reporter might, you know, go out and write two articles a day for the paper. Well, now they have to not only write the articles, they have to also write it for the website. They also have to have social media and tweet. They have to have a Facebook page that they're updating. They have to take video and go to meetings and be prepared to take video and upload it. So while it was, you know, a 24/7 job before, it's even more so now with many more responsibilities. And the irony is that the number of people who want this job is actually rising. So you've got new college graduates who are willing to become newspaper reporters for minimum wage or even as unpaid interns just to get the experience, which pushes out people who with experience. So it's a tough profession to be in right now.
So that's specifically newspaper reporter. Are the prospects better for other kinds of journalists?
Yeah, and we actually say in here that there are journalists who have transferred their skills out of the newspaper world into, you know, social media purely, into public relations, into corporate communications. So you can take those same skills and apply them to different careers. It's just working specifically for a newspaper that ranks to the that makes it to the bottom of the list.
Now, getting outside of journalism at the low end of the list, you mentioned earlier some jobs that, you know, involve some elements of danger, a firefighter, lumberjack. What are some of the other jobs like that at the lower end of the list?
Yeah, enlisted soldier in the military is near the bottom. Photojournalist, even though it's journalist, you're out on the front lines. You're covering the fire. You're covering the battle. So you're taking the same risks as everyone else. A corrections officer, which seems, you know, fairly obvious. And then actually taxi drivers on the list. It's the number one profession in the country where you're most likely to be a victim of crime. So that ends up there as well.
And enlisted military personnel is also down there on the bottom end of the list.
Yeah, and it's funny. What's changed for soldiers is that, you know, not only is the job inherently dangerous, but the career prospects aren't as good as they used to be. You know, it used to be that you could say, I want to be a career, you know, military person, and with the drawdowns and other changes, you may not even be allowed to enlist, re-enlist. So, you know, the career prospects aren't as good as they used to be either.
But people might argue back, A, this might be a calling, a desire to serve the country, or maybe an experience that will help them in later job opportunities outside of the military.
Yeah, no question. Again, you know, with a lot of these jobs, the people who are dedicated to doing them really don't care that it doesn't necessarily pay well or that there's a lot of danger involved. You know, they're motivated by other things. And so if that's you, if you're motivated by running into a burning building and saving people because that's, you know, where your mind is, then it doesn't matter that it's a dangerous job to you.
Now, this is a list of 200 jobs, and one of the things you watch for is motion. What's moving up quickly? What's moving down? What have you got your eye on for next time around?
Yeah, so every year we add new jobs and remove jobs that aren't as populated, meaning fewer people are in that job, and we add jobs where there are many more people coming in. So I mentioned data scientist, for example, is a brand new job this year. There are now enough people in that job for it to emerge. We added other jobs like sustainability manager, which came in well, not in the top 10, but high. Social media manager was another one that emerged for the first time this year. So, you know, we're always watching. Biomedical engineer came in the first time last year. So we're always watching for new jobs that are kind of emerging and adding them to our list.
Tony, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
That was Tony Lee, publisher of Comcast.com, with a look at the best and worst jobs for 2015.
Now we want to hear about your best or worst job of all time. What made your awesome job great? What made your worst job miserable? If you heard something on that CareerCast study in the top or bottom, were you in one of those jobs? Do you agree with where it rated? If you could start your career all over again, is there another line of work you'd want to pursue? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. We just heard from Tony Lee of the website CareerCast about the best and worst jobs of 2015. And now I want to hear from you. What was your best job ever, your worst job ever? If you had a great job, what was awesome about it? Or what made your worst job miserable? Was it your career prospects? Was it how much you made? Were you actually in danger on your job? Something our guest says makes for a job that comes out more toward the bottom of the list. Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And I'm curious, and I bet the answer to this varies from person to person. What makes a job satisfying, a good job for you? Is it the tasks, a sense of providing service, a sense of control over the workplace, the money? What makes a good job good? What makes a bad job bad in your mind, in your experience? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also share your thoughts, your stories on the Central Time Facebook page. And in this study we just heard, love to hear from actuaries out there. It's supposedly the best job out there. What do you think? And worst jobs, some dangerous things, a lumberjack, firefighter.
Enlisted military personnel.
Right, which I could see some people loving, really finding a calling on, as we just heard. Let's hear your story now. 800-642-1234 is the number.
And we go now to Kennedy joining us in Madison. Kennedy, hi.
Hi, yes. I thought it was funny your comment about actuaries being the number one job and not a lot of people knowing about them. I actually, when I met my fiance, he's an actuary, and the way I kind of have been describing it to people is they are kind of a weatherman for the financial district, and so it definitely is a good job, and he loves it, and so if anyone's interested in math, definitely go into it.
So he's got that aptitude of math that we were talking about.
He does. Yes.
All right.
Not so much my strength, but he definitely loves it.
Does he does love it. He finds job satisfaction in doing this actuarial work.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and I know now I have a lot of friends who are actuaries as well through him, and they all seem to really enjoy it as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kennedy, for sharing that, getting us started. Now, how about you? Best, worst job experiences at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Sue in La Crosse now. Sue, hi there.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's your story, Sue?
As those of us who are resident caregivers, it would be a tough job that is great for the most part, you know, with the appreciation and the family members' appreciation and everything, and just seeing you enhance lives. But it's a very tough job because it's very high stress, maybe for the most part low pay unless you are in a county facility or something like that. But anyway, it's, you know, no college involved, just the training you get as a CNA and along the way.
And Sue, I understand, I've known people who've done jobs like this. It sounds like it can be emotionally draining and physically challenging. Am I right about that?
Exactly, exactly. You know, sometimes we're in a facility that is assisted living, which ends up being quite a bit like working in a nursing home because the people, the folks stay there. You don't just, like, shove them out the door when they get more needy with cares, you know. It's a tough job.
Sue, thank you so much for sharing your story. How about you? We're asking about your best job ever, your worst job ever, and what made it so. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Thanks to Sue for the call. And on we go to Elizabeth in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi, Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, my worst job was probably working in a perfume factory when we were in college. A bunch of college kids worked there. We came out just smelling of perfume every single day. Short breaks, the same tedious type of job every day, and it really made us college kids want to return back to college. It was a great motivator.
Well, I have no idea how you make perfume. Were you part of the, I don't know, assembly line or the people
assembly
who package
line.
The perfume?
Yeah, assembly line, putting on caps all day long, you know, labels, and it wasn't automated as much back then. So it was pretty boring, but I went on to become a teacher, and I'm happy with that job.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that story, working in a perfume factory back when she was a teenager. Elizabeth, thanks for that.
We'll go now to Peter in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi there.
What job do you want to tell us about?
Well, I was I'm listening to the radio, and I found it interesting that firefighter and lumberjack are so low on the list. I myself am a... sort of a land manager, and I do a lot of restoration work with prairie and forest, and it's kind of a combination of lumberjack / wildland fire and prescribed fire.
Yeah.
And I would just say that I love my job and the improvement that I get to see in the land and the people I get to work with and work for, the conservationists in that community. There's no better thing for me, that's for sure.
And Peter, do you get to work in some cases on the same plot of land over a period of years?
I do.
So you get to see change over time.
Yes, it's very encouraging. We lots of times you'll go through the seasons and you get to see the different prairie plants that are coming up, and you really get to day by day and also year by year, you get to see the value of the land and how what your work has done to improve it.
Fantastic, Peter. Thanks for that. So, yeah, you get to see the product of your work in the long haul. You wonder, am I changing anything? There it is. Thanks for that, Peter.
And we'll go next to Patty in Ripon. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hello? What is your vote for best or worst job?
I was a combat medic in the Army for 6 years, and I thought it was the best decision I ever made. It really set me up for a long-term career, and I got to take a year off of nursing school, and I really, really enjoyed doing it.
It sounds like a job that would be high stress. It sounds like you found it meaningful, though.
Oh, I definitely did. It just kind of defines who I am now, even years after being out of the military, and it really set me up experience-wise to know and have that background in my job and my resume. And I think that people find the military intimidating or not for them, but I was out of shape and young and female, and I was not your idea of a typical American soldier, and I still found a lot of passion and love in that career.
If you don't mind my asking, what are you doing now?
I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse, so you followed that career right along. Well, Patty, thank you so much for calling and sharing that.
We are taking your calls for best and worst jobs ever. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. When I think combat medic or paramedic or nurse, emergency room, I have immense respect for people who do that. And I think I would be terrible at it. I don't think I could handle that kind of work. I'll say if you were ever in one of those positions, you don't want to see me being in that line of work. We've got Richard on the line now in Ettrick. Richard, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I completed 34 years in the military.
Wow.
In 2011. I just want to say that was the best career move I ever made. Great people to work with, get to see lots of different places in the world. Some bad places along the way, but I guess that's part of the risk, but the adventure was great. And now I'm in my second career as a farmer, so it's just been great.
That's quite a change, though, career military to farmer. How has that transition been for you, Richard?
Been real good. I like being outdoors and raise beef cattle and hay, and it's been a real easy transition. out there. My wife loves it. It's nice to spend more time with the family now.
So. I bet. Richard, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for sharing your comments, your stories. And remember, you can keep telling us about your best and worst jobs ever and what made them the best and worst jobs ever. Just head over to the Central Time Facebook page, share your story there, or you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR.